Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We need to officially get to Susan, who's been waiting. I'm sorry, I didn't know she was there. I'm going on about the Rooney Rule here. And we have Susan Slusser joining us. It's good to talk to you, Susan. It's been a while. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's very nice to talk to you, too.
Yeah, let's hop right into this Hall of Fame vote. Was there anyone who you thought was best suited to join Junior Griffey and Piazza and didn't get in this time around? Was there a surprise for you?
Oh, well, I voted seven places. We've talked about this before, Damon. I don't vote Bonds and Clemens because of the steroid connections that are pretty clear. There are seven guys I feel should be in the Hall, and certainly a couple of them are getting close. I really want to see Tim Raines get in next year. His last year of eligibility. I certainly thought Bagwell was getting pretty close. It's interesting. My good friend Ryan Thibodeau keeps track with the Hall of Fame tracker, and the public ballots that were available before the vote was announced, both Bagwell and I think maybe Trevor Hoffman and Raines were in. Certainly Raines and Bagwell were in on those. It's the ones where the people aren't publicly announcing. They seem like they were not voting for some of those guys. But it's great to see Piazza finally make it. I hope that starts the trend with some of these other guys that are backlogged getting in the next year or two.
If you had to get on a stump and lobby for Rock Raines, what would your "he needs to be in" speech sound like?
Well, you know, some people go a little too far and say, you know, he was Ricky. He wasn't quite Ricky, but there's only one Ricky. I mean, Ricky's, you know, one of the handful of greatest players
right.
ever. But after Ricky, if you're looking for a leadoff guy, this guy was, first of all, he was a terrific outfielder. I mean, just an all-around great player. And his numbers stack up. And a little bit of an A's connection, you know, and he played for the A's at the very tail end of his career, and a gentleman and a wonderful guy, a great ambassador for the game, and really one of the few sort of remnants of those great Expos teams that got so messed up by the lockout and all of that. It would be nice for something good to finally come out of all of that and have Tim Raines make it in the Hall of Fame in his final year of eligibility next year.
On the BBWA former presidency that you used to have, are you going to beat the bushes to find the three turkeys that thought preventing Ken Griffey Jr. from being the first unanimous Hall of Famer was a more helpful moment for baseball history than casting a vote they know should have been in? Like, the only reason why you don't vote for Griffey is because somebody screwed up their Bonds vote, or not their Bonds vote, but their Babe Ruth vote, you know, 100 years ago. I mean, it's ridiculous to not vote for Griffey.
I mean, actually, no, there's another reason. I mean,
10 vote made, yes.
Yeah, people could have been doing it for strategic reasons, knowing Griffey was a lock, you know, with the way polling was going before people even finished voting. Some people might have thought he's a lock. I'm going to give that vote because so many people feel there are more than 10 who on the ballot who are worthy. It's very possible that at least one or two of those. And then, you know, this is another topic we seem to have once a year discuss, Damon. You got a group of 450, 500 people, there's going to be a few oddballs and weirdos. If everybody was supposed to vote the same way, we would be a fascist country and the votes would all be 100%. We're not like that. That's not, people can vote the way they want. That's what happens with a large electorate.
I think
maybe maybe somebody just met screwed up. Sometimes that happens. There's always error of, 2% in various different things. That's because people, like, mean to check one thing and accidentally check another thing. So it could be that. It could be stupidity. It could be weirdo. It could be strategic.
Is this the dangling Chad defense? Is that what this is?
Well, it is a weird, you know, there are strange things that happen.
Sure.
You get a lot of things in the mail and a lot of different people. And there's, you know, elections are elections. I had to laugh when I saw my colleague Henry Shulman tweet something about Bob Costas and said, those three need to have their votes stripped. No, it's an election. It's just like our general democracy. An election, you don't get your vote taken away because you vote the way somebody else thinks you shouldn't. Or you're entitled to vote whatever crazy thing you want to vote.
Right. But we don't let criminals vote either, and I just think it's criminal to not let Ken Griffey Jr. in unanimously. I mean, seriously.
That's not too strong, Damon. That's very fair.
Susan, we've been talking quite a bit about the moves the San Francisco Giants are making. We haven't talked at all about the moves the A's are making. Is there anything that happened under the radar or even on the radar, because it's not a marquee player, that you think changes the arc of the season we're about to see? Doesn't feel like they've made any real, you know, I'm not going to get excited about a guy in the bullpen, it being your major offseason acquisition.
Well, the bullpen was their big Achilles heel. I mean, the bullpen, everybody points to Donaldson trade. What killed their season last year really was a terrible, terrible bullpen, starting with Sean Doolittle's injury. I mean, it's not Sean Doolittle's fault. I mean, guys get hurt, but you know the whole story. From there on, it was awful. But I don't think right now this necessarily lines up as the best team in the division. You know, there are better teams right now in the AL West. But there is one interesting under-the-radar move that we haven't discussed. I haven't been on with you since it happened, I don't think. The Henderson-Alvarez signing is very interesting. Costs them very little. He won't be ready until May sometime. But you're talking about getting an all-star for 2 years for virtually nothing, who could come back and be a pretty important piece. And we know that the A's live and die with their pitching. They're rotation, if health is okay, could be okay. And their bullpen is certainly a lot better. So, and this offseason has been more about, I think, addition by subtraction than anything else. We knew there were problems in the clubhouse. We knew the chemistry was bad. They've addressed some, if not all of that, I think.
With Billy moving up the corporate ladder and David Force now being the guy, is it going to be business as usual, standard operating procedure? Or might a new GM change business as usual with the A's?
No, nothing changes. They were pretty clear with that. You know, David Force, this was a very deserved promotion. It's really just in title only. But he's been doing sort of the daily grunt work, you know, the real sort of what you think of now as a GM. You know, the kind of groundwork and the calls and the all the research. He's the one that's really been in charge of that. And Billy does a lot of sort of the deep thinking and certainly, you know, any final decision he's weighing in on, no doubt, and is educated on it. But he doesn't need to know, you know, the 40-man roster of every big league team the way David Force does. So nothing really changes in the way they do things. But I think a very nice and very well-deserved move for David Force, who's been doing kind of that daily GM stuff for quite a while.
If you had to lean one way or the other, do you think Billy still does his weekly interview with us or halfway took the promotion to make David do it?
Oh, that's a great question. I tell you, David's been doing way more of the print media duties since the changeover. So, yeah, you might get a little bit of a difference. David's a good talker. So, you know, I don't think you can lose there. All I'll say. Either way, you'll be just fine.
How are the holidays?
Very just calm and uneventful, the way you like them. Nice and nothing crazy.
Very, very nice. Well, nice to catch up with you for the first time. And before you know it, we'll be talking to you from Arizona. It'll be here before anyone expects. That's how fast time marches on. Susan, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Susan Slusser.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.